Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Let's find Genesis 27 tonight. And I want to preach to you a message I've only preached one time in 40-some years. I preached it in Mexico City years ago at a conference, at a meeting there. And God knows what he's doing. Have me know that. I just really felt like this is it. This is the manna for tonight. I'm going to talk to you about this. Are you fed up and ready for change? Are you fed up and ready for change? Let's look at Genesis 27 and verse 40. This is Isaac talking to his son Esau. He said, "And by your sword you will live, and shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass, when you shall have dominion, that you shall break his yoke from off of your neck." Now, some translations say, this passage where it says, "when you shall have dominion," it's just really one word in the Hebrew. And so you can kind of render this maybe different ways, but the thought is one translation, the New King James says, "when you become restless." Others say different things. But the thought that is there is when you get tired of it. When you get fed up, you'll have dominion. How many know you don't have dominion unless you take dominion? You've been given dominion, but you don't have it unless you take it. You don't. And so he's telling him, you got to get fed up. Amen. If you want things to change, you have to get fed up with the way they are right now. And thank God, God's power is there to change, isn't it? How many know you can't change without his power? I was talking to a guy about giving his life to Jesus, and he had the funniest comeback. He said, he basically let me know, "I'm not done partying yet." He said, "I'm going to give my life to Jesus. I'm going to give my life to Christ. But I'm not done partying yet." He says, here's what I'm going to do. He said, "When I'm done, I'm going to clean my life up, and then I'm going to give my life to Jesus." How many of the world thinks they don't know any better, right? I tried to explain to him, that's not the way it works, man. You can't clean your life up apart from Jesus Christ. Amen. You make the decision, but you can't do it apart from his power. And also, you know, but that was his response back to me, that he really basically wasn't done partying yet. He was honest about that, and that he was going to clean his life up someday, give his life to Jesus. But he wasn't going to come to the Lord before he cleaned his life up. Honorable, my friend, but it doesn't work that way. How many know that? He's the one that cleans you up.
Yeah.
How many know you got to catch the fish before you clean the fish?
Yeah.
How many know what a fish is?
Yeah.
All right, it's that response I wasn't sure. But I just want to say, there's things that in your life, until you get fed up, it's not going to change. I think people are waiting for God to just come in. Like one lady was praying at the altar, and she was just praying, "Lord, take it away, take it away, take it away." And when she was asked, "What do you want the Lord to take away?" She said, "Oh, it's this snuff." She dipped snuff, chewing tobacco. How'd you like to go on a date with her, guys? But anyway, and it's like the brother said to her, he said, "God doesn't dip snuff. He's not going to take it away. You got to give it up." Now, he will help you, understand that. But he's not just going to come down and override your will and make things happen. You have to get fed up with things. You got to get fed up with the way things are, the current situation where you want to change.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
A lot of Christians go through a lot of pain they don't have to go through because they have to have pain to get fed up.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about physical pain. I'm just talking about pain in their life before they finally get fed up and decide, "I'm going to do something about it." We have people come back to church because they have so much pain in their life, you know, and they get fed up, you know. But you know what? You should have got fed up a long time ago.
Yeah.
You can, amen? So this is what he's saying to him. He says, when you get fed up, notice this. He said, when thou shalt have dominion, or when you get tired of this and you do something about it, you'll break his yoke from off your neck. How many know it's the anointing that destroys the yoke? Amen? See, the Bible tells us that in the Isaiah 10:27, that the anointing will remove the burdens and destroy the yoke. So the more of God's presence you get on your life, the less yokes and bondages you have. I've just learned that by experience, that the more I get God's presence on my life, the freer I am. Amen. And you know, I do things in the natural, but natural things don't get the presence of God on you. Amen. You know, I do things in the natural, but I'm aware that if that's all I do, I won't have God's presence in my life. He may love me, but his presence won't be manifested. Remember what Moses said, unless your presence goes with us, I don't want to go. And, you know, and so, you know, the natural things don't bring that. Amen. Amen. You know, sometimes I watch sports, but you know what? Doesn't bring the presence of God. Oh, you say, well, I know God's on the Colts side. Yeah. I don't think he cares. Amen. You don't see it much anymore, but you used to. The boxing was on. Now they've gone a lot of this streaming stuff. You can't hardly watch them any longer. And Phyllis would tell me, that's not going to be in heaven. And I said, well, no, better enjoy it now. It ain't going to be in heaven. I better watch it now. I'm probably pretty sure it's not going to be. Amen. But that doesn't bring God's presence on your life. Amen. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, I forget what it was I had the other day, but it was one of Trisha's cookies. And I said, man, I'd pay, don't tell her this. I said, I'd pay good money for these. I almost thought I was having a spiritual experience, but I know it wasn't. It was just my flesh. Amen. Her cookies are good, but they won't fill you with the Holy Ghost. They might make you talk in tongues. Oh, wow. And these were the special kind with the cream in the middle. Two cookies. I'm having one tonight, by the way. Praise the Lord. But anyway, how many know? It's the spiritual things that brings God's presence on your life. Doing spiritual things. You know, God's Word. Prayer. Worship. Being in the house of the Lord. Right? Fellowshipping around the Word of God. Amen. So I do natural things. I'm not one of these guys that, just praise 24/7, you know. But I do take time to get the presence of God on my life. Amen. Because it destroys the yokes. It lifts the burdens. How many know you gotta have this. Get fed up with things. I'm fed up with this in my life. I'm fed up with the way things are. I'm fed up. I want some change. Till you get there, you're probably not going to change. I mean, the woman with the issue of blood got fed up, didn't she? The Bible said she had been in that condition for 12 years, had suffered many things of many physicians. I've just heard some things about the way they tried to treat people in those days, and some of the things were real painful. I mean, they didn't have the anesthetic and things like that. You know, you watch a good old Western, you know all about this, right? It's like, bite the bullet, take a slug of whiskey, and hope for the best. You know what I'm saying? Because this is going to hurt. You know what I mean? I remember when I was 12, I went to the doctor over something. I think it was when I was fighting that blood disease. And he had me drop my drawers. You know, when they make you drop your drawers to get a shot, you don't even want to see the needle. When it's too big for the arm. And he told me, he said, you know, he probably shouldn't have, he cussed. He said, this is going to hurt like blank. Boy, he did not lie. Suffered many things, many physicians. But praise God. But when she heard of Jesus. Now, you understand, this woman's been weak for a long time. She's been in this condition for 12 years. And so she suffered many things. many physicians. The Bible says she spent all that she had, which kind of indicates to me she was wealthy, because if you can spend on doctors for 12 years, you had to have some money. And so she was pretty wealthy from somewhere. I don't know how she got her wealth, but the Bible doesn't tell us. But the Bible says when you heard of Jesus, she got out of the bed and she came in the press and touched his garment. How many know? She got desperate, didn't she? She was fed up with that. How about the guy with the palsy in Luke chapter 5? I mean, they tried to get in the meeting and it was so full they couldn't get in there. And so they got up on top of the roof. This is radical, guys. Amen. Right? It's like some people, you know, you get little rain, it knocks them out of church. It's like one pastor in Michigan said people in his church sometimes don't come because of snow. And he goes, this surprises you? This is Michigan. It's kind of like he said when he was in L.A., people say, well, I didn't show up because of the traffic. And you're surprised by that? This is L.A. There's going to be traffic. So how many know? You can make all kinds of excuses. But when you're desperate, amen, how many know? When you're desperate, when you're fed up, you're ready for change, you just kick the excuses to the curb. And that man, even though he couldn't get in the meeting, they could have easily said, well, it's too full. Sorry, we can't get you in. But they said, no, we're getting in there. And we can't get into the door, so we're going to go down through the roof. How many of that is radical when you decide to tear the roof off of somebody's house? This is somebody's house. Jesus is there preaching. How many know? He's walking around. He's preaching. All of a sudden, straw and mud and things starts falling down. This is disrupting the service. How many know that? You know, I mean, Jesus could have looked up and said, what's wrong with you guys? Have you never been to membership class? This isn't the way. But that's not, when he saw it, he saw, what did he see? He didn't talk about the hole in the, he didn't say who's going to fix that. He just said, he saw their faith. They were desperate. They were fed up with this situation. How many know a little guy by the name of Zacchaeus got fed up one time? He got fed up with his lifestyle. He wasn't sick. He never had any issues there. But he was a tax collector and he was a cheat. And he was very wealthy. And he heard Jesus was coming to town and he was fed up with his lifestyle. I know what he means. I got fed up with my lifestyle. I got fed up with the way I was living. I got fed up. That's how I came to the Lord. One of the things is I was fed up with the way I was living. I was fed up with everything. And Zacchaeus got fed up and he heard Jesus was coming. And the Bible said he was a man of little stature. He wasn't tall like me. For those of you that are listening, that was a joke. I'm 5'8" on a good day. One guy came to the church there in Huntingburg one time, first time he came, and I was preaching. He said, I thought you were like 6'4" or something. He said, I've been listening to on cassette. He'd never seen me. He said, I thought you were real tall. I guess I have a real tall voice or something. But anyway, I don't know if it let him down or not, but anyway, I wasn't that tall. But Zacchaeus climbed up on that in that tree, right? Got up on that sycamore tree because he saw Jesus was coming so he could get a look at him. And Jesus saw him. He said, hey, come down. I'm coming to your house. See, Jesus recognized this man wanted to change. He was desperate. And when he got into, when Jesus got to his house, he said, Lord, he said, I'll give half of my goods to the poor. If I've cheated anybody, I'll restore back to them four times what I took. That's a guy that's fed up with the way things are, and he's ready to do whatever it takes to see some change. If I have to change, I'm going to change. Amen. How many know things aren't going to change until you get fed up with the way they are? If you want to see change, first step you got to do is you just got to get fed up with the way things are. If you don't get fed up, then probably not going to change. You'll probably just live, amen, with the bondage. You know, some people get comfortable in their bondage, you know. Sometimes the medical community tells you, well, you just need to learn to live with pain. No, I don't want to live with pain. I want to be free of pain. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Jesus bore my pains. So I want to be free of pain. I don't want to just live with it. I've not surrendered. I've got some things I'm fighting, but I haven't surrendered to any of it yet. I'm not surrendering. I said, I'm not going to surrender. I may not understand why I haven't defeated it. I know Christ defeated it for me, but why I haven't put it out of my life. But here's what I know. I haven't surrendered any of it yet. I'm not surrendering any of it yet. Amen. I'm not going to surrender. Praise God. You know, when I talk about boxing, you know, one of my favorite boxers, I don't know that he was the best boxer in the world, but he was one of my favorite because I thought he had the biggest heart of any boxer I ever saw. His name was Evander Holyfield. He had one of the biggest hearts. I've watched him fight, and I've watched him. He's totally whipped. He's totally defeated. He's staggering around the ring, and next thing you know, he's back. And he's got the other guy staggering. He had such heart, he wouldn't quit. I remember one fight, he was so beat up, so staggering around, that big George Foreman, remember him? He was calling the fight, and you could hear him. You could hear him on the broadcast yelling to the ref, stop the fight, stop the fight, stop the fight. I'm thinking, shut up, George, shut up, George, shut up, George. This is a good fight. And but Holyfield was so beat up. And you know what? Before the fight was over, Holyfield came back and won the fight. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Why? Because he just wouldn't quit. That's the way you can't surrender. He wouldn't surrender. He wouldn't quit. And he came back and he won that fight. I thought he was done for too. And I thought, you know, they should stop the fight. But, you know, we had a guy here who had a heart of a lion. I mean, we got to have a no-quit spirit inside of us. We're not going to surrender. We got to get fed up. Amen. We got to get fed up with the way things are. You can't accept status quo. Sometimes, like the children of Israel, they are willing to go back into bondage rather than pursue and fight the giants. Because it was just easier on the flesh. You know, the flesh does not like to resist the devil. It doesn't. The flesh just wants to, let's just make peace here. How many know God doesn't want you making peace with your enemies? Amen. Now, so you gotta get this, you gotta be fed up. You got to be ready for change. Look at Exodus chapter 8. This is a funny story here. I know you've heard it before, but I want to read it to you again tonight. Exodus chapter 8. You got to be fed up and ready for change. It's not going to change till you get fed up with it, you get tired of it. I got fed up one time years ago of just barely getting by financially. I got fed up with it. And you know what? You know, the devil can try to squeeze your finances off. I said the devil can try to squeeze your finances off. You know, if you're just lazy, you're probably going to be broke because the Bible says you will be. Right? It promises you. There's a promise for lazy people in the Bible. Thou shalt be broke. But if you're doing everything you know to do, the devil still tries to squeeze your finances off. You got to get fed up. I remember years ago getting fed up and said, I've had it. I'm tired of it. I had to get fed up. And when I got fed up, things began to change. Hallelujah. Thank you for your great encouragement. But things began to change. But I had to get fed up with just barely getting by. Now, look at Exodus chapter 8, verse 1. The Lord spoke unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. And if you refuse to let them go, behold, I'll smite your borders with frogs. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into your house, into your bedchamber, and upon your bed. I mean, I don't want frogs on my bed. I only want lizards in my bed. And into your house, into the house of your servants and upon your people and into your ovens and into your kneading troughs or bows. So where you're kneading your bread, frogs will be in it. And the frogs shall come up on you, upon your people, upon all your servants. And the Lord spoke to Moses, and the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch forth your hand with your rod over the streams, over the rivers, over the ponds, and caused frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the water of Egypt, over the waters of Egypt, and frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And notice this, Pharaoh's magicians did so with their enchantments, and they brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Now that right there, I would have fired those guys, executed those guys immediately. We already got frogs, and now here you guys are making more frogs. But notice verse 8. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, "Entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I'll let the people go that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord." Isn't that interesting? His magicians could cause frogs, but they couldn't stop frogs. They could do some of the plagues, but they couldn't stop them. In other words, they could do the curses, but they couldn't do the blessings, because blessings come from God. They couldn't do that. But look at this. This is what I wanted to get to. It says, Moses said unto Pharaoh, verse 9, "Glory over me," or "have the say over me. When shall I entreat thee and for thee and for your servants and for your people to destroy the frogs from you and your house and they that remain in the river, and that they remain in the river only?" And he said, "Tomorrow." Tomorrow. Tomorrow. How many know this guy is not fed up enough with the frogs? How many, if you had frogs in your bed, frogs throughout your house, frogs in your frying pan, and somebody said, "When do you want to get rid of them?" How many of you would say, "Oh, sometime tomorrow"? How many would say, like, right now, immediately, if not sooner? Can you see? But here's the thing. How many of you got to get fed up with frogs, right? But can you see? I want you to see this. When Moses said to him, I think it was verse number 9, when he said to Pharaoh, "Glory," the King James says, "Glory over me." That's what the King James says. But what it's saying is, what it means is, whatever you have the say, you have the say. Whatever you say about it, that's what I'll do. And instead of him saying, "Right now," he said, "Tomorrow." How many know God has given us the say over things? Didn't Jesus say in Mark 11:23, "Verily I say unto you, whoever says to the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, doesn't doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he'll have whatever he says"? Didn't he say that? I said, didn't Jesus say that? Who said that now? Come on, let's get real about it. Who said that? All right, why do we have preachers today telling us that doesn't work? Are you contradicting the words of Jesus? He said it. He said, "Whosoever." That's everybody, folks. If you believe it. If you believe it. And we hear this today. We hear people say, "Well, you're just one of those name it and claim it, blab it and grab it." Let me just set the record straight. First of all, Jesus didn't say he didn't just say you can have whatever you say. He said if you believe it, didn't he? If you believe it. Now, how many know when Jesus talks about believing, he isn't talking about what you and I call believing. He's talking about Bible believing. And how many of we know how faith comes, right? Yep. How's it come? By what?
Hearing.
By hearing. And hearing by what? So how do we get faith? All right, so that puts a cap on that verse right there, that the only things you can really believe for, really Bible believe for, you might say you're believing for something, but you're not Bible believing for it if you don't have a promise. So any promise in that book, you know, we can stand on that and say that and see that come to pass in our life.
Amen.
Amen. That's not the only thing about it, but that is part of it. Amen. But you gotta believe it. And you know, I don't know about you, but I have, when I go to believe for something, I have to go back to the scripture over and over again. Because if it happened immediately, it would be just be a piece of cake. But I'm dealing with the issue right now that I'm believing for, and it's a pain issue, and I'm believing for it. And every time I feel the pain, the devil will remind me, well, it hasn't manifested yet. Well, wait a minute here. I believed I've received. I said, I believed I've received. I shall have it. I don't know what time shall is. The sooner the better. The sooner the better. You say, well, Jesus was instant. Well, you ain't Jesus and neither am I. You get that much anointing on your life and got that much wisdom, I think you pull things off pretty quickly. I'm just smart enough. No, I know him, but I'm not him. I was in a healing line one time, or a prayer line one time, and a woman, she had a demon. She looked at me and said, Jesus. I said, no, I'm not him, but I know him. All right. I don't have an issue with that, the fact that he had this spirit without measure. Now, I've heard some goofy people say, so do I. You have a spirit, but not the Holy Spirit. It's called a delusional, deceived spirit. How many know he was a prophet, apostle, evangelist, pastor, teacher? He had it all. Amen. It takes the whole body of Christ and all the earth. The Bible says the whole body of Christ is the fullness of him. It takes all of us to try to equal the anointing he had on his life. And then I'm not sure we're there. Y'all follow what I'm saying? He gave gifts unto men. He didn't give us everything. I've heard people say, I've got all 9 gifts of the Spirit. You're just as goofy as could be. No, you don't. When somebody says that, run from them, because they're about to prophesy something really bad to you. It might have to do with your money. Amen. I forget who it was. You might remember someone years ago told me that a prophet had prophesied to them that they should go to Africa. Do you remember who that was? That was years ago. They said, so I had a prophet prophesy to me and I'm supposed to go to Africa. What do you think? I said, take the prophet with you so you'll know when to come back. Because if you had to have a prophet tell you to go, you're going to need one to send you back. Actually, I think once you get over there, because God didn't send you over there, you'll get sent back pretty quick. How many know we just need to stick with the Bible? Don't fall for this super spirituality. You know, I'm so spiritual that, you know, I go to Walmart and the cashiers fall out in the spirit. And why don't you just witness to them and shut up? All right, was that plain enough? Amen. You quit trying to be Catherine Kuhlman, because you're not. Amen. Have you know God in Genesis chapter 1, when he spoke light into the darkness, didn't he? He said, notice he didn't look out over eternity and he just said, wow, it's dark. I mean, if he'd have said that, it would have stayed dark. He said, let there be something. Amen. And you understand, I'm not saying that, you know, we just say it and it just poof, there it is. But saying it's involved in working faith. The Bible's full of that. I said the Bible's full of that. If we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth. So when Pharaoh said tomorrow, that's his faith. In other words, he's just not fed up enough to say today. I would have said right now. Right now. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the rivers to blood, that's one thing. I'll go find me a Pepsi machine. But when you got frogs in my bed, I'm done with it, brother. In this right now. You got to get fed up. You got to get fed up. You don't get fed up, then I don't know. You're just going to live with it, aren't you? Look at Deuteronomy chapter 1. We got a little time here. Let's look at this. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Go there. Anybody fed up with some things? You got to get fed up with some things, don't you? I'm tired of this. I'm putting my foot down. Now, you know, of course, like I said, with that guy I was talking to about the Lord, and he was like, when I get my life all cleaned up, I'm going to get saved someday. But you know, he still wasn't done partying. But when I get my life all cleaned up, then I'm going to come to Jesus. I mean, it doesn't work that way. He's going to have to help you. You have to get born again, become a new creature. I don't know. That's the way it worked for me. I didn't get cleaned up till I got saved. When I got saved, I got cleaned up. Amen. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 1. Look what the Lord said to Moses in, verse 6. He said, "The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, you've dwelt long enough in this mountain. You've been here long enough." Anybody ever felt like you've been in a place, you've been in that situation too long? He said, "You've dwelt there long enough. Turn, take your journey, go to Mount of the Amorites, unto all the high places thereunto, in the plain, in the hills, in the vale, in the south, by the seaside, Cana, etc." Verse 8, "Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land, which the Lord swore unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them." Now, so God said, "Look, you've been here long enough. Get moving on. Get going. Get moving on." So see, it wasn't God that was making them keep going around that mountain. It was them. And God said, "You've been here too long. I told you go possess the land." I mean, sometimes we put up with things in our life and does anybody feel like you've been around a mountain more than once? Come on, just be honest with you. I said this years ago. You know, the journey from where the children of Israel left Egypt to the promised land was 11 days. That's how long of a journey it was, 11-day journey. It took them 40 years. And now I've been at this long enough to think that maybe they made it in record time. Come on. I've seen some of the same shrubs, same mountain. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you've been around things long enough. Right? You know what I'm saying? You know, you live in the city, you don't even know you don't know the street signs. You just know that it's by the red barn. You know what I'm saying? Well, how do you get to your house? Well, just turn by that red barn. Turn down that house with the green door. Amen. My house is beside the pink house. Help me understand. You begin to get familiar. And so you can get comfortable. How many know you can get comfortable? And so God said, "You've been there long enough." See, God said, "Go in and possess the land. I got something better for you." Yeah. How many know God, Jesus has something better for us? Yeah. It's called abundant life. Yeah. And that more abundantly. Yeah. How many think that probably all of us got more land to possess? Sure. I'm not done possessing land. Amen. I got more to possess. But you got to get fed up with the current affairs, see. David said in the Psalms, and I've taught on this scripture before, in Psalm 40, he said that the Lord brought him out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And I was talking about that one, I don't know, it's been a couple months ago or something, talking about how in the area where we were from, in Pike County, that they had the strip pits. And they were like gray looking mud pits. And if you got in one of those, they'd suck you in. It wasn't like quicksand where you just went, but it really hang on to you. And you'd stick in one, I think it was Sister Linda texted me afterwards and she gave me the name of it. I forget what it was, but there's a name for those. And she knew the name because she's a piker too. So, amen. That's probably not a good. I heard somebody call somebody a piker one time. I thought, what does that mean? It means a cheapskate. So how many pikers do I have here? we're actually former pikers, right? But I love Pike County. Amen. We're from there. But anyway, we had those pits, and I told you, as kids, we tried to go across those, and you just couldn't make it. And then one time we thought, okay, we can't walk across it. So let's roll across it. How many know when you're a kid, you're lacking something, right? And so one of the guys tried. I didn't do it. One of the guys tried to. I don't think I did. I don't know. I might have. But one of the guys tried to roll across it, and he got out there in the middle, and he started to sink. We had to throw a rope and pull him out of it. So this guy wasn't real bright, you know. And so he decided, well, he couldn't roll across, so he's going to try to ride his motorcycle across it. Same guy one time tried to climb a spoil bank with his motorcycle and couldn't get up there. He couldn't make it. So I didn't have my bike with me. I don't know where it was at. I don't remember, but I was with him. So he said, well, just get on back on my bike. I thought we were going to leave. He tries to go up it again with me on there. And we really didn't make it. Man, we came tumbling down bike. And when we hit the bottom, I was on him, man. I said, what in the world? And he said, well, I just thought more weight, we might make it. That's how bright this guy was. But anyway, hope he's not watching. Anyway, my point is David said he was in a stuck place, but he waited patiently on the Lord. He prayed unto him. He inclined to my ear. He waited patiently. Well, I'm waiting in faith. And the Lord got me out of here and set my feet on a rock. And let's just put a new song in my heart. Sometimes it's time for a new song for some people. It's time for you to sing a new song about your life and about the things going on. But you got to get fed up with where you're at. And so, you know, the Lord had me minister this. I don't know why in Mexico City when I was there one time to the people there about you got to get fed up and you got to be fed up and ready for change. Or actually, it was a question. Are you fed up and ready for change? Are you fed up? Are you fed up? You got to get fed up. How many know that's still true today? Amen? You got to get fed up. Jesus said, those that hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. You're not going to change unless you're hungry for it. You got to be hungry. You got to want it. There's a saying, you probably heard this. I forget exactly how it goes, but insanity is doing the same thing and expecting different results. Jesus said, you got to put new wine in new wineskins. In other words, if you put new wine in old wineskins, when the wine starts to ferment and the gases are released, it stretches the old brittle wineskin and busts it. You bust your wineskin, you lose your wine. He said, new wine must be put in new wineskins. And the point he's making is if you're going to have something new in your life, you got to do something new. You got to change. I said, you got to change. Years ago, we had a lady that was going through some things, and she just really had some real struggles with her mind and mentally. And she had been prayed for and ministered to and everything you could think of, and still nothing had changed. Amen. It's kind of like one time years ago, Phyllis and I and Kenny and Emily, and I think there were some other people, we were all eating in a Chinese restaurant here in town. This was before we had a plethora of them. This was the old one, Yen Ching's, or however you say that one, there on Green River. We were in that one. And this waitress comes to the table, and she's having a hard day, and she said to us, she goes, I pray to Buddha, no help. That's what she said. Brother Kenny said, why don't you try praying to Jesus for a while? Amen. And so, you got to get, she was getting desperate. I hope she went home and prayed to Jesus, because how many know there's help with him? Amen. Now, where was I going before? There's got to be somebody assigned in this church to tell me where I was going. Thank you. That's exactly right. Thank you, Kathy. If you're going to have to change, you're going to get new. You got to do something new. You got to do something. You can't keep doing the same thing. Amen. You say, well, I've been believing for this breakthrough. And how long have you been believing? Oh, 35 years. Well, maybe. Maybe you need to change your approach. How many think that might be a possibility? Amen. Right? So I just can't seem to get on fire for God. Maybe you need to pray and change your approach. Maybe. But anyway, this lady I was talking about, she was going through this thing. And finally, Brother Eddie, I was on staff with him, and he said to her, he said, I don't know what to tell you. He said, you go home and you seek God with all your heart. That's all I know to tell you. And she went home, she said, and she came back the next service, she was a totally changed woman. And from then on, she was changed. She said, well, I went to my bathroom, got along with Jesus, and just pressed in and pressed in until I got delivered. She had to do something different. Getting in a prayer line, which we believe in prayer lines around here, wasn't working. Amen. Sometimes it's like one guy one time, and this is a true story. This guy had, this is years ago, this guy had tuberculosis when it was really bad. This was back several years ago. But Brother Hagin told the story about the guy. He had tuberculosis, and he was a minister, he was a preacher, and he was dying. He was only 26 years old, but it was so bad he had to come in from preaching, and he had no income, so he had to go live with his in-laws, him and his wife, and they're living in their house. He's bedridden, he's stuck in bed, and he's laying there, and he got to thinking one day. He thought, you know, I've been all over the place, and every congregation I've asked for them to pray for me. And he said, I've got hundreds of people praying for me. He said, if prayer was going to do it, I'd be delivered. You see, that's not that prayer doesn't work, but sometimes we got to get desperate and find out what God's got in mind, right? In Jericho, they walked around the city. They didn't do that with every city, did they? God had a plan, but you got to get desperate to hear from Him.
Yeah. Right.
See, even though there's little French peas on the wall discouraging you, saying, if you think walking is going to be knocking down our wall, what was it? Your brain, if you think knocking, your brain's, it, what does that song go? Yeah, something about, if you think walking is going to be knocking down our wall, it proves your brains are very small. Doesn't anybody watch good stuff any longer? VeggieTales. It's plain to see that your brains are very small if you think walking is going to be knocking down our wall. Little French peas. We'd have to see it anyway. Most of you don't watch VeggieTales, I can tell. But we had grandkids, six of them. We watched VeggieTales over and over again. And so, but you know what? If God says walking around the wall, around the city, we'll bring the wall down. How many know to bring the wall down? And let me tell you something. It wasn't a picket fence. Rahab lived on the wall. Her house was built into the wall. I've heard they could drive chariots around on top of the wall. Amen. But if God said it, I said if God said it. So anyway, this guy, he's laying there in bed. And he gets to thinking, you know, I've asked all these people to pray. If prayer's going to do it, I'd be healed by now. So he said, I don't know. It just came to him. He said, Lord, if you'll just give me enough strength. He saw a clump of trees several yards from the house. He said, if you'll just give me enough strength to get out there, I'll lay out there until you heal me. I'm going to lay out there and praise you until you heal me or till I die. Okay? He said, I don't know what happened. He said, I got some strength. He said, I got got out there. He said, I laid under those trees, began to praise God. And he said, the devil started speaking to him. How many know the devil will talk to you, right? He said, now you've done it. The buzzards are going to lead them to you. They don't know where you're at. They won't be able to find you. The buzzards will have to lead them to you. He just ignored that, began to praise God. He said, after 2 hours, he was standing up on his feet shouting praises to God and was totally healed. But he got fed up, right? You got to get fed up sometimes. Amen. You got to say, look, whatever it takes, Lord, whatever it takes for me to get delivered here, I'm going to do it. Whatever you tell me, whatever you witness me to do, you know what I'm saying? Whatever you put in my heart, whatever I read in your word, you know what I'm saying? See, Norval Hayes used to tell people, just do what they did in the Bible to get healed and you'll get healed. Do what they did in the Bible. And sometimes they did some radical things, didn't they? Yeah. They sure did. They did some radical things. It took some radical things sometimes for them to get healed. But anyway, you got to get fed up. I hope you get this tonight. You have to get fed up and be ready for change. So, how hungry are you? Jesus said, if you're hungry, you'll be filled. Amen. You want a new thing? You got to do a new thing. Look what Paul said. We'll close right here. Do you get something tonight? Going a little long tonight, but let's go here to Philippians chapter 3. We'll close right here. Philippians chapter 3. I got so fed up with my life, got so dissatisfied with the way I was living. And so, you know, it just took that. I wasn't dissatisfied with my life at 18, 19. I started But 20, when I hit 20, I really started getting dissatisfied with my life and the way it was going. And change was in the air. Praise the Lord. Change was in the air. Amen. But I had to get fed up with living the way I was living. Look at this. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 12, Paul said, "Not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." How many know sometimes you got to forget the failures? You got to let that go. Because the devil will tell you, well, you failed before. Yeah, but this is a new day. New day. Verse 14, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. How many, this is a pressing way that we're in. You have to press. You have to press. What does that mean? You got to put pressure on. Amen. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect," or that word perfect means mature. So if you're mature, be thus minded. What's he saying? If you're mature, you're going to realize, no matter where I'm at, I got to keep pressing on. God's got more for me. Yep. Hallelujah. Yep. No matter where I'm at, I got to press on. You can't ever get to the place you think, well, I've arrived. And if anything, you be otherwise minded, if you think different than this, Paul said, God will reveal this unto you. This is what he'd reveal to you. Just keep pressing on. "Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule." No matter where you're at, that's what Paul's saying. No matter where you're at, keep pressing on. "Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example." Paul said, "I'm an example to you of pressing on." How many know Paul pressed on, didn't he? He had many setbacks, many tests, many trials, but he just kept going. There's one place in the book of Acts where they stoned him. They took him out of the city and stoned him and left him for dead. Many people think he was dead. And the disciples stood around him, and he got back up. And the next day, he went back in the city. He went back in that same city. Well, he wasn't going to be denied. Amen. In other words, listen, he wasn't going to let people tell him how it was going to turn out. When Paul is in prison in Philippians, in that same book right there in Philippians, he tells the Philippians, he's in prison. The Roman government is going to execute him. That's their plans, is to take his life. He's in prison. And he writes to the church at Philippi. He said, "You know, I can't decide whether to stay or to go." He said, I'm in a strait betwixt two, whether to depart, be with Christ, which is far better, or to remain and help you. He said, listen to what he said now. Come on. Did you hear what he said? "I can't decide. I got my mind made up." I'm thinking, man, I got my mind made up. But Paul said, "Since you need help," he said, "I'm going to stay." Notice, he didn't even factor the Roman government into this equation. He said, "I'm making the decision here. If I decide to stay, I'm going to stay. If I decide to go, then they'll take my head off. But I've decided I'm going to stay." You know what God said? "Well, that's what you decided. That's what you got." Hezekiah was told he was going to die, get his house in order. He turned his face to the wall, talked to God. God told the prophet, "Go back and tell him he's got 15 more years." Who decided that? It was his decision. I mean, God said that, but it was because of his actions. He didn't accept that. He reminded God how he had lived. Isn't it good to live right so you can remind God?
That's right.
I know we're not rewarded. Listen, I know we're not saved by our works, but I'm going to tell you what, honoring God, God honors you. Yeah. I'm saying, you honor God, he said, I'll honor you. Yes. Amen. So you got to know that. Now, we're not saved by works, but I'm going to tell you what, as soon as we're saved, the Bible said we're saved unto good works. By grace are you saved through what? Amen. Not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. For we are His workmanship. This next verse. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He just said you're not saved by works, but once you get saved, have some works. Works ought to follow your salvation. You ought to just want to do right. Amen? So he said, listen to this. All right, we'll close out here. He said, brethren, follow me. Remember what the Bible says? He said, well, yeah, a lot of things the Bible says. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6, be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. People who just wouldn't quit. Bible's full of them. They got fed up with the things they were. You got to get fed up. Amen. I have to admit there's some things in my life, and I'm not talking about their sins or things like that, but there's just some things in my life I guess I'm not fed up with enough. You know, I want to weigh a certain weight, and I guess I'm not fed up enough. I've gotten fed up before and lost 30, 40 pounds. One time I got so lost so much, everybody told me I've lost too much. I like to hear that. I'll put some more back on. Praise the Lord. It was like I was having an issue one time and the doctor told me I needed to eat. I said, if that's all it takes, praise the Lord. I'll take that prescription any day. Amen. And I did what he said. I ate what he said and it fixed the issue. He told me you need to eat something here. I said, okay. Praise God. I love that. When you go to the doctor, he says, eat. Amen. I don't really need to be told that often. But anyway, how many know there's things in our life that until we get fed up, it's not going to change. You got to get fed up. You got to really get fed up. You say, well, I thought I was fed up. Well, that's just it. When you're fed up, you don't just think it. You know it. Amen. It's kind of like, how do I know I found the right one? You know. Amen. If you found somebody, you think, well, they'll do. I'm going to change them a little bit. Keep looking. Amen. Stand up. You're not there yet. Amen. You got to get fed up. Everybody say, fed up. You got to be fed up and ready for change. Are you fed up and ready for change? You got to be that way if it's going to change. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.